Welcome. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and, incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. If you are listening live, thank you very much. We would like more people to be listening live and, well, just as many people, I suppose, as to be picking up the archives after the show. So when we ask for callers, we don't just have dead air. And my very special guest, coming from a world of peak oil and a whole bunch of people that are going crackers. These peak crackers, sorry. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Vinny.
Now, can I ask you, if you would, very, I don't know, nicely and kindly and so on and so forthly, introduce yourself and let us know a little bit about who you are and what peak crackers is really all about.
Sure. And I'll put it in a nutshell for you. I'm just a regular guy that decided that put out some YouTube videos and try to break it down as layman terms as I possibly could. You know, there was just every time that I'd watch a video or read something, it would always leave or lack out a little bit of information. So I just started kind of stringing it along and in my own little creative twisted way put out a video. And one thing kind of led up to another. And to be honest with you, the Zen Gardener, which I know it comes on your show quite a bit, great man. He kind of provoked this in me, and I owe a lot to him. He was pushing my creative buttons, as he says. And this is what we got.
Well, it could be worse.
You've become, it sure could be.
Quite a prolific little YouTuber there. Thousands of hits on all over your videos and It's kind of like rising and being successful at this kind of thing, which is good, because what's the alternative? Watching mainstream media?
Yeah, exactly. Here's the thing, Vinny. Like, I don't do this for anything other than the hope that a little bit of that message resonates with a few folks, and if it brings some interest to the table on some of the topics that have been hidden from us, as we all know, great. You know, I've done my job. There's a little bit of light shining on some darkness, and people can become educated from that point on. Hopefully it keeps their interest enough that they say, you know what, that is something I should look into, versus just sitting around watching Kim K's massive behind wiggle on mainstream media. So,
although that is rather hypnotic.
I don't know if I'd agree with you, but I guess if you say so.
you know what Kim Kardashian's ass reminds me of? It reminds me of that umbrella that the Penguin had in Batman Returns, you know, he just kind of like twirls it around and sort of hypnotizes you. And it's...
That's a great call. Yeah, that's pretty spot on.
Yeah. Everything except the exploding tip. Well, I suppose that one belongs to her husband.
Oh, that's grand. So, yeah, that's where kind of it was all pushed and... That's what I do. I mean, it's funny. It just kind of took off from there. And, you know, like anything, you're going to get some interesting characters that come along. And right now I'm going through an episode where, I don't know if YouTube's got some sort of a bot, or it comes in and it marks all the comments off. So maybe I'm touching a nerve in the right place on some of the information I'm getting out there. And if it is, good for me.
Yeah. It becomes difficult when you've got things that you can't explain. At the moment, like, I get all these really good comments on YouTube, but for some reason they're marked as spam.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody marked them as spam. Who was that person?
Yes, sir. You're getting that too, I see then, Vinny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I get the same thing. I will put up a video, and then within seconds, the video is automatically thumbed down by 40 views, and it hasn't even made the time length of the video. So it's either, you know, a bot of some sort that they've placed into this now, to discourage people like you and I from doing these type of things. And, you know, at first I was kind of thrown off by it, but whatever, good. I'm glad if it's touching the right nerve, so be it.
Well, I think Lancaster bomber pilots in World War II, taking off from England, going over to bomb Germany, had a saying, if you're copping the flak, you're over the target.
Man, I keep hearing the same, everyone keeps saying that same phrase to me, you're over the target. So I'm starting to wear it with pride, to be honest with you. This all started from a native Indian fellow that I speak with, and he said, you're over the target. And I'm like, what do you mean by this? You keep saying over the target. And then Zen Gardner actually just said this to me not too long ago. So and now yourself. Pretty magical. I'm over the target.
Yeah.
So let it be written.
Well, look at it this way. If they weren't afraid of you, they wouldn't be attacking you.
Right on. And I hear you.
This is the best part. This is the best part about it, because it's sort of like if you sit back and do nothing, Pete, then they win. But if you get up and you do something, anything, you automatically win by default. And if they start attacking you because you're resisting in some way, shape, or form, then you know that you're actually being victorious.
Mm-hmm. I'm right
this
with you, Ben.
This is the world we find ourselves in. If you're doing something right, generally, something wrong will happen to you.
Crazy.
If not the other way around. Something wrong happens to you, then you start to become a campaigner for doing what's right. And was it just Zen Gardner who encouraged you and pulled your creative strings, or had this been building in your mind for a while?
Yeah, so, you know, basically 15 years ago, I kind of just found myself not being happy with the things that I see around me in the world, and obviously realizing that there's a big chunk of illusion here that we're all just kind of drifting along in. And as that kind of grew over time, you know, I've been reading, and I was reading and reading and mail-ordering books, and then finally the Internet started to pipe in a ton of information come, let's say, late 2005 onwards. You start to see a lot of inflow, which just fueled it even more. And then, yeah, I really didn't play with it much. And Zen Gardner's site was a site that I often went to. I was very interested in a lot of the stuff that he had posted. And he kind of reached out and said, you know, why don't you try a few things? So I did, and I really didn't expect to see much out of it, and it just kind of blossomed to where it's at. And really, I don't think, I'm very humble about what I do. I just do it because I think it's a message that needs to be resonated out there, and nothing more. You know, I really don't feel anything different about it. It just is what it is. The message is what it is, and you can either dive into it and embrace it and look into it more and make your own decision as a human being. And if not, that's okay, too. So at this point, I just would rather see as much as we possibly can change. You know, is it possible? I still have enough hope in humanity that there's good people out there. And that's what's, you know, going to count. Sooner or later, it's going to count.
In terms of good people out there, I mean, who are your inspirations? I mean, you mentioned Zen Gardner. What are your other sources? Actually, let's go off that topic for a second here.
Sure.
You're interested in particular topics, specifically the Archon agenda, right?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said there. I apologize.
You're interested in the Archon agenda, you know, like the Gnostics talked about the Archons, the mind parasite, these hierarchical psychopathic scumbaggery.
Well, I mean, I'm interested in it. It's not usually something I speak a lot about myself. I usually go on more about the illusionary, you know, economical situation that enslaves everybody through taxation.
Well, could you give us a wee bit of a backgrounder on that from your perspective?
Sure. You know, what I see and what I've seen is we have this system that's been put in place, and no matter how you look at it, taxation is a gun to all humans' heads. The first argument that usually comes out of most people's mouths is, I like my roads, which would just tell you on how illusionary it is right to begin with. But beyond the scope of just roads, we don't see the taxation working in any way for us. It's just more enslavement to keep you pushed down, along with the monetary policies that are put in place regardless are never put there to keep you better than. It's always to keep you less than. That's the most easiest way I can explain to people. And we all bite into this hook, line, and sinker. And then the cycle basically starts to wash, rinse, and repeat throughout time. And it's very simple when you see it. Like you're looking now with BRIC, for example, becoming the emerging markets, which is Brazil, India, China, and Russia. All the money and gold is being hoarded into those Asiatic countries while the depletion is happening in North America of the petrodollar. And as this roll starts to take place, it is the same cyclical factor that took place prior to World War II, with the Americas being the emerging market. So when does the game stop? You know, when do enough humans wake up from enough pain that's basically self-induced, so to say, and they go, we've had enough. Hopefully, there's a chunk that will eventually wake up and enlighten themselves enough to not participate in this, you know, ongoing bullcrap. Makes sense?
Personally, I'm not 100% sure whether or not the so-called masses is something we should actually really be trying to allegedly wake up, because they don't matter. I mean, for the large part, this might be offensive to some people, but you look back through history, has it been the masses who led revolutions and or even participated in them? Statistically, it's only been a couple of percent of any population in any country that's ever had any kind of successful revolution. And I think globally speaking, it's in fact the small number of individuals, people like you and myself, Peak, who will in fact make the difference. And maybe we're distracting ourselves by thinking that all those people that have never mattered throughout history suddenly matter for some reason.
It's very possible, sir. And you know what? You could be spot on with fooling myself in that concept, because I'm not going to kid anybody. I'm not going to try and tell you that I can wake people up, because I know I can't. That's not what I've ever set out to do. In fact, you're not going to wake up until either one or two things happen. It's so devastating that you're forced to, or something catches enough of your attention that you take an interest in it versus all the rest of the mainstream media and the propaganda and illusion that's placed around you a hundredfold. My goal is to hope that I catch that little bit of interest, and maybe it'll spark a small bit of rebellion towards this illusion and ego that's, you know, clouded everyone's minds. That's always been kind of what sparked me. You know, I stumbled upon a book years back, and it was basically the Orwellian books, right, that kind of sparked my interest, and it just kind of led from there. And the maybes and would-bes started going off in my mind. And as I started to dig, I started to become a little bit more educated in these topics. It led me to the road I'm at now. So I hope that maybe just, you know, that small little, that little hook that sits out there catches a piece of someone's sweater, and it's enough to start to unravel. And all of a sudden you find yourself naked with your thoughts. And if
is
that's accomplished, then you're dealing
Sandy
with
Hook.
I'm sorry, Vinny.
What kind of hook were you talking about? Wasn't Sandy Hook by chance?
The mental hook, not the Sandy Hook.
If you say so.
Sandy Hookers is what we call it.
I saw this very, very interesting film. In fact, I didn't watch the film. I thought it would probably be too lame, but I watched it and saw this this title come up, right? You know, when you're looking through for movies to watch late into the night off of the internet or whatever, and this title comes up, The Sandy Hook Lingerie Massacre, a movie made in 2002. And I was like, whoa, buddy.
Crazy.
Is that possible? You know, I mean, had you ever heard of Sandy Hook before? I don't know. And what occurred to me is that the world is really, really weird, right?
Yeah.
It's just too freaking weird. And what I really get annoyed with is people who are really sure that they know what they know. People who are really sure that they're doing what they're doing for a specific reason or whatever. I'm not really sure of anything anymore, because the world's too crazy for me to try and make sense of to a large degree. Do you feel similar sometimes?
Absolutely. I mean, and that's the whole thing. I just try to rattle off my thoughts on these videos, and I can only grab at what I see. And then from there, you have to investigate it and make your own conclusion. You're 100% right. Who knows what's really been placed in front of us? What I do know is I wake up, and somehow or another, I got to feed myself and take care of people around me. And I try to do my best at that every day. You know, just try to give a little bit more versus taking all the time. And I think that is probably the biggest change that I can make, you know, is just to come at it with that approach versus having that conditional greed on me that's been placed on most of society. And once you break out of that mindset, I find for myself, it's a big weight off your shoulders. You don't have that same press down that you've always got to be fighting in this fear-driven realm. The whole point is to give. And, you know,
yeah, man. We're all living in this constant societal pressure of fear and scarcity, fear of not having enough.
Exactly.
I think, like, when I quit my job, bro, I had, like, heaps of money, okay? And then I decided that I would become an activist. And for the next, I don't know, what's it been now? Been like 6-7 years or something. Living by the skin of my teeth. But every single time that I need something, I need shoes, pants, clothes, food, rent, internet, interest paid on the credit card, whatever it is, it turns up. And it's because I'm no longer afraid of scarcity that it suddenly no longer exists. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Pete Crackers is my guest, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show where the music never stops and the guests keep on coming. Kind of like the Rick D's Hottest 100 of truth and scumbaggery exploding. My very special guest is Peak Crackers. You've heard of Peak Oil and you've heard about how it's driving everybody crackers. Well, now we're talking to Peak Crackers. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Can I ask, what did you used to do for a living?
What do I still do for a living, actually?
Really?
Yeah. Let's call it fornicate with the Matrix. How's that? I have a large retail shop that I've had for about 26 years. And I've been in the health industry. I retail fitness equipment. And it's just been a kind of a thing that I started off with, more or less, just to kind of work for myself. And that's what I've done. Never kind of went into it for the paper notes, just kind of went into it so I'd be left alone, if that makes sense. And I kind of blossom, and, you know, I make enough paper off it to be happy. And you get the chance to give some away.
Yeah. Well, I think a very wise person once said that money can't buy happiness, but a lack of money certainly buys misery and stress.
Yeah. Well said.
Mm-hmm. You know, because misery and stress is one of those few things in life that there is abundant and free and devoid of scarcity.
Well, that's the whole where the name Peak Crackers actually came from, was the whole spin on peak oil, peak food, peak. You know, and that's what it was. It was just peak everything, right? All this peak fear. And crackers, you're absolutely right, come from peak crazies and peak slave drivers. So that's kind of the spoof on the name.
Yeah, well, and now we've got the government who want to peek into your lives, so it's peak surveillance as well.
Well said. Absolutely. Peekaboo.
Yeah. that we are entering now into the age of peekaboo. Which means there will be large numbers of Aladdin's monkey walking the earth.
Yep. You know, Vinny, I'm I'm so amazed at all the people out there now that I see more and more people, though, speaking out. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's because I'm so caught up in the world of alternative media, so to say, that I see it out there. And, you know, I see sites out there that I bump into all the time that are really outspoken about the Matrix. And I'm shocked by some how far they're willing to push their necks out of line, you know, with no fear. And that's what's needed, is that speaking out, that constant envelope pushing of, look, I have vocal cords, I'm going to use them, I'm not doing it to harm anybody, but this has got to stop. And that's what is needed out there right now, until they take the net away, obviously. But for while it's on, you know, there's some really good sites out there that I see really pushing the envelopes.
Could you list a few of those? Because I'm all in favor of cross-promotion and bringing other people into the fold.
Yeah, well, I found one a little while back called Mammy's Shit. I'm sorry that I have to say that. That's what the site is actually called.
Unfortunately, okay, I apologize to the affiliates for the FCC regulation lapse there. But yes, it was a quote, so I think we can get away with that under artistic license. Sorry, go ahead.
That's the name of the site. I mean, I can't, that's what it's called. And, you know, I find that they really push the envelope in. They'll post a lot of other media out there, and that's what it's about. They'll dig it up. They'll take the time. It's definitely not along the lines like your site or sometimes even with The Gardener, where they'll write their own information. But these guys will go out there and dig up stuff that isn't posted anywhere else. And the more that it's not posted somewhere, the more that they try and dig it up and put it out. And that's kind of what I like to see. I like to see people going after those meat and potato stories that you just don't get everywhere else. And they're not afraid to talk out about it. You know, they're not afraid to voice their humanly opinion if they see something wrong. And then you have a choice as a human. You can either learn about it, accept it, or walk away from it. But at least we have that choice versus what we get now, which is no choice, just the choice to do what they tell us to do. And I can't stand that.
Yeah, I think that's actually something I learned as a boy, is the thing that really ticks me off most about anything is simply not having a choice in the matter. You have to do this or you have to do that. Well, what about an option that I've come up with by myself? No. You have to do this or you have to do that. You know, and so the only two choices I've got are bad choices that some other motherfucker came up for me. Yes, that's right. Okay. Well, that sucks.
Yeah. Yep. And it's wrong. You know, like, when I step back and I am boxed into a corner, but it's an illusionary box, but either way, you're still boxed because that's what you have in your own mindset. The minute you get just a small taste of fresh air from something else, then it's on. And that's what you're starting to see now, I find, with a lot more people out there. They're willing to go the distance. They're willing to speak out against, you know, anything that they don't see fit in the world that's unjust, that's causing people harm, it's causing people pain or suffering, starve. And, you know, I look at the country I'm in, Canada. Food is abundant. It's crazy how much food is here. And yet, half the world starves. I mean, just the province I live in could pretty much take care of that very easily. But it's done purposely. Yeah. And, you know, that's the part that makes me ill to my stomach and drives me to keep speaking out.
Yeah. Well, there's the element that I think is most important for people to comprehend is that the people who are in charge are not like you. They're not like me.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think like a normal moral person was. I mean, your neighbor comes over to your house and says to you, bro, could I borrow a cup of sugar? I'm out of sugar. I just need just a cup so I can make some cookies for my kids. You give them a cup of sugar, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
What do the elite do? The people like Mr. Burns.
Well, they're going to give you sugar and charge you on it 15 times over.
Yeah. Well, you say, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get your signature on this piece of paper, and only then will I create the sugar, and you're going to have to pay me back sugar way more than I gave you incrementally over time, so that your sugar debt will be a millstone around your neck. And the next time you come and you want to borrow a cup of sugar, you won't actually be wanting to borrow a cup of sugar to bake cookies for your kids. You'll be wanting to borrow a cup of sugar off me, so that you can pay me back some of the sugar you owe me from the first cup you borrowed.
It's never ending, Vinny.
That's the New World Order neighbor.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right on that. And if they don't do it that way, they'll make sure that there's nothing around you ever so you can ever even just try and get your own sugar, period. Right? They'll force you into the factor of wanting the sugar no matter what. And that's what I see with, you know, starving countries, right? You can't compete with free food. And they've given enough free food for everybody to stop farming. And now all of a sudden, you've got starving people and lots of free food over this way, but it's not free anymore. And it's been forced upon them, unfortunately.
Where did your moral compass come from, if I might ask?
I come from a Native background, Indian. And in Canada, I just seen a lot of devastation take place with these, you know, with people throughout this area that were kind of beat down and starved off and placed in situations they shouldn't have probably never been put in purposely and suppressed. And you know, glorified that suppression as if people were doing something right for this group, and it wasn't. It was exact opposite. So, you know, as people ended up on reservations, which were literally chunks of land that were no good and beat up and given, like, some token, it just made me ill to watch. I didn't take that path in life. I went full head into the Matrix, and I didn't mind being in there. I learned fighting in the trenches that way and understood the greed factor that takes place on a constant basis around me. And it was literally a mindset and conditioning that most people just love. They love the illusionary pleasure that comes with it. And they just have a hard time giving it up. So my moral compass really does come from just that. It's just watching people constantly, be taken advantage of and put into a box of pain, not knowing that they're just stepping into it themselves. And I hope
also,
that's not too deep.
On top of this, just being a person who's in business for yourself, did you by chance be like a lot of other people who are really unhappy with the fact that they were, well, more or less had to follow orders from an employer?
Are you asking me, are people unhappy that work here at my shop? I'm sorry, I didn't catch the question all the way.
The opposite way around. I mean, when you became self-employed, what was the differences that you noticed really in your own personal life versus when you were an employed person who had to follow orders?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I didn't have a long time that I was employed, and fortunately enough for me, the one place that I was employed, the person that was, I guess you consider my boss, and I hate even using that term, but they were really good to me. They actually took me under their wing and helped me move along. But to bring that forward, Vinny, in my own business, no, I don't tell anybody. When they come here, I don't tell them they work for me. They work with me. I just I explain that they have to have respect that I carry the bulk of the weight, the lion's share of it, all the time on my shoulders. And with that being said, they're just as human as I am. And I try to make it as fair and as comfortable so everybody does walk in, and it's a good place to work, you know, that we just got to do it to make some paper to get on with. It's a means to, it's a medium of exchange. And most people that work here have been here for, 20 years. They've been here a long time. So, and it's just a mom-pa shop. It's nothing that fancy. But we all, grind it out, and we get along good. And it takes that stress off, of that power-hungry, thriving kind of fear-induced environment. That's horrible to live in. You probably know yourself when you said, screw it, I'm going to go out and do my own thing. Once that's off your shoulders, life just becomes a lot nicer all the way around. So the bulk of the people that are here, they're happy. They're good people.
You never had anybody come in and take advantage of your trust and respect for them?
Absolutely, I thought, sure. Yeah, and it's going to happen. There's going to be that that odd character, and thank God that I've only had experience maybe that once in the 26 years I've been doing this.
Well, that's nice. I guess you attract to yourself what you already are.
I, I think there's a lot to be said, exactly what you just said. I believe that that does come with those people. Maybe when people are treated with respect, sometimes they just don't want to take advantage of you either. And I really believe that. I think if you are fair, understanding, and don't, you know, it's obviously very clear that kindness isn't weakness, but they do find a new respect for a human being if you're not just trying to take off somebody. In fact, you're looking out to hope that you can help out in a different way.
Speaking of which, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening live, our board op, Adam, who has been holding the network together basically by himself for the last month and a half, 2 months, been producing everybody's shows and doing a damn fine job of it, is completely out of food. He doesn't have any food. That's how terrible the situation is at American Freedom Radio. So, I want to ask if anybody would be kind enough to donate to Adam so we can, you know, go down the road, get a cheeseburger or something. Go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, click donate, and put a little note on the donation saying this is for Adam, the board op, so the boy can eat. Because, bro, not being able to even have anything to eat whilst exposing scumbaggery and talking about a world full of starving children. I am one of the starving children, he says. You know? It's actually quite nasty because what I find interesting is that there's two ways of contributing to the truth movement. One is sort of like a self-sustainable way, whereas you take care of yourself and then whatever you've got left, you take care a little bit with others, sort of thing. And what my methodology is, and a lot of other people, is that you know that you really don't have anything, but you know that you can still give a lot to other people instead, you know, like doing video, doing radio, this kind of thing. It actually serves people. I mean, it actually feels better to know that there's actually somebody there listening and recording and putting these things out on air and online and you being able to tell your personal stories and things like that. And that's what I give to people, even though I don't actually really have any resources on my own other than that. So please go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and donate to Adam so the boy can go and get himself some food, yo. Back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Peak Crackers. And, you know, we are really living in a world of being Peak Crackers. And something you said to me before, bro, was that you said that you're an ordinary person. And I can't stress to you just how many exceptional people tell me that. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. I just see myself that way. I just believe that I'm a human being, you know, and I just try to be a human being in the best way possibly that I can on a regular basis.
Just in that very simple prognosis there means that you're actually an exception because most people aren't like that anymore. The New World Order's educated and brainwashed people to the point where what you just said and what you just thought about doing and who you are is actually the crazy part of society that should be ridiculed, ignored, tortured, prodded, poked, waterboarded, locked away in Guantanamo Bay.
Mm-hmm.
That's how frickin' peak crackers this world is right now, bro.
I agree. And it's, you know, some people see that in a sense of fear. I don't see it as fear. It saddens my heart to know that there's other humans out there being held against their will and tortured and fed with giant tubes down their noses or their stomach sliced open so they can put the feeding tube into it. And, you know, at this point in the game, and this is the stuff that I try and bring to the table, that maybe, just maybe, some other human that feels the way I do will have enough, as unfortunate as this, sadness, that'll catch their attention versus Kim K's giant behind, and they'll realize there's an important issue to be at hand at all times, from the minute you wake up to the minute you go to sleep, that this is what we have to deal with. And if you don't deal with it, then it'll deal with you. And there's only one other way not to deal with it, and that's to walk away and move yourself completely. And unfortunately, that is very difficult for most people. As much as people will say it, and I often preach it myself, say walk away the most that you can or the best that you can, it is difficult to do. It's probably the hardest things for most humans to do is to leave the illusion and start walking down a different path of life. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to leave other humans to be tortured and suffered, though, in the process.
I think when we talk about this this motivation to do right by humanity, it's often because something really bad has happened to us, or we've seen something really bad happen to people who are close to us. And you mentioned before a little bit about how you got into us. Just wondering what is it that makes you really, really sad? Sad enough to actually motivate you?
It's mainly a lot of times, Vinny, is the children. It's kids. Because it's innocent life. It's innocent life that's just trying to be happy. And to take it away and to harm it on a regular basis will keep me awake at night. Because it is defenseless. It doesn't really have a way to defend against it other than run. And when that has been taken away, then it's cornered. And, I don't know how many times that, I've read an article on Palestine or I've seen other kids around the world, even in Africa, that are just, put through this endless torture of grief right from the minute that they're born onwards. It just, it really can weigh on you sometimes. Now, a lot of people say, well, don't let it get to you. But it's what fuels me. I don't want to see it in the world. So what am I going to do, just talk about it? The only thing I can do is try and participate now and get the word out there. Do what I can to help. If I have to donate in certain places, I'll donate. If I can do whatever I possibly can do, I want to do it. I just don't want to sit and just think about it anymore. And I think that's, the problem. People become very complacent in their own thoughts, and it just becomes overwhelming, and they don't want to touch it. Well, you eventually got to make some sort of movement towards it and, start to rectify, if you can, if all possible, to get these things dealt with. And that kind of gives back to me.
Just spreading information, do you feel that's enough, or are you feeling you're obligated to do more, like you might grow and expand the things that you're doing nowadays?
I don't know, Vin. I don't know if where it's going. And honestly, I just take it day by day. At this point, I just want to try and do the best I can as a human right now while I'm breathing. I don't feel that it's necessary to concentrate all the time on me when there's a lot of people around me suffering. And I come from a pretty hard-hit area of Canada. I'm not too far away from Detroit, which is devastated, as you know. And I did live in Detroit for quite some time. And that was an eye-opener, what was taking place in Detroit and what's taking place now. And to see a city just left the way that it is in ruins, and you can dress it up and put lipstick on the pig all you want, it's still a pig. And ultimately, unfortunately, this is what is coming. It's unwinding and it's unraveling, and as it does, there's a lot of people that get hurt in the process. So maybe you can help a person or two while you can, for them not being hurt. Maybe they can bypass that hurt in a different way.
Now, speaking of the process, the thought process, and you've got a term called a thought fungus. What is that?
Well, it's funny. It's what you often speak about on your shows, on the mainstream media, and how all these thoughts just kind of start to grow, like a mushroom in your mind, and they start to take over. And as that process starts happening, I find in people's heads, they become very complacent in their own thoughts. Their own thoughts it basically starts to self-consume them in their own thinking. They no longer become physically motivated to do anything. They just are caught up in thought. And the consumption in it just starts to basically manifest over and over. And I see this a lot when people start to wake up. They get so caught up into it that all of a sudden it's so overwhelming, it almost paralyzes them. And now they don't know what to do. They're just kind of stuck in this process of thinking all the time. And at first you don't recognize it, but I have a friend of mine that woke up around the same time I did, if you want to call it that, waking up. And he's in that process where he's just stuck in thought. It just, you know, it's kind of like he just overthinks and gets so caught up in his own mind. It's almost reclusive in a way, you know, where they're just kind of out in the fridge and just thinking and not doing anything else. There's no other part to their life other than their own thoughts. And it's its own way. It's a self-consuming process. So when I did that video, it was trying to alert people. But I have seen this done, and I've actually gone through it at one point where I started, you know, overthinking everything. Everything that I did, I overthought it, and it was consuming me the same way that I would consume other things. It was kind of a reversal.
This process of your thoughts consuming you, I've kind of thought about this. It happens to a lot of people who wake up, and instead of taking action, they decide, oh, I need more information, when they've already got enough information to start taking action on something. And as a result, they feel powerless and helpless because they're not actually doing anything. They're not actually becoming self-reliant. That's really dangerous, because when you're powerless and helpless in your own mind, you start to hold a pin on your fellow man. You start to think that everybody else is useless and powerless and helpless, just like you, when they're not. And it's actually you that has the problem. And everybody else, you know, you can't solve everybody else's problems. Anybody who tries to solve everybody else's problems and just ignores their own ain't going to solve anything. You know? How are you going to pull a splinter out of somebody's eyes if you've got a tree branch in your own, bro? I mean, it's nearest there. These people, it's just, like, say, for example, the Cancer Society. You've had these people out there, Peak, with, what's it called, these donation buckets, you know? Donate to cancer research. How long have you been out here asking people to donate for cancer research? Oh, well, I've been doing it, you know, on and off voluntarily for 6 years. Okay. And in that 6 years, how much money do you reckon the entire organization has accumulated? Oh, I don't know, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars. Okay. And how many cures or near cures have you come up with? Oh, nothing at all. And how many massive advertising campaigns and people like you that are actually paid to stand out here have been supported this entire time? Oh, probably about 100% of the profits. Okay. You're a slave. And you think that you're helping, but all you're doing is messing yourself round and messing around everybody else that you're taking money off and not actually producing anything as a result. Okay? You are an unwitting leech on society. There is a cure to cancer. It's called hemp oil. You know how much it costs to make? Virtually nothing. And that's the reason why the Cancer Society still exists. It's because the thing that could cure you, that costs virtually nothing, that you can't get millions upon millions of donations every single year for, ain't something that is useful to you. Something that's useful for humanity, but not to your pocketbook. Is this the kind of mental fungus that we're talking about here, Pete?
100%. Yep, you just hit it right on the nose. And yeah, that is exactly what I was trying to get across in that video.
Sorry, what?
I said that was exactly what I was trying to get across in that video. The problem is when I bring it out in those terms, the way you've just explained it, most people kind of give me the, yeah, I already heard that, you know, and I'll do what I want with my money. It's my money. So I try to maybe just go at it in a different approach with the video. I tried to throw a little bit of spin on it, a little bit deeper, maybe make them look at it in a different angle if I possibly could. But you're spot on with your analogy. That's exactly what I was getting at.
Now, on top of that, what occurs to me is that people are living their lives and have been living most of their life for a very useless purpose, being a cog in the machine, okay? You've actually got a heck of a lot more power than that. When was the last time you had a real conversation with somebody, okay? You know, about something important, something personal, When was the last time you could really say, absolutely, that you had an original thought? And when was the last time you went and criticized somebody else because they weren't communicating their thoughts appropriately to you for you to consume? We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.